You're listening to Vatican Radio.
It was 1 year ago today, Thursday, March 13th, 2013, that the College of Cardinals elected the Cardinal Archbishop of Buenos Aires, a Jesuit named Jorge Mario Bergoglio, to be the 265th successor to St. Peter. Chris Altieri takes us back.
St. Peter's Square was a sea of humanity. Citizens, out-of-towners, and foreigners, everyone alike a pilgrim. And late afternoon had given way to twilight, and now night had fallen over the city of Rome. Then suddenly, at 7:05 in the evening, Rome time, smoke appeared from the top of the stovepipe chimney erected above the Sistine Chapel. Gray at first and emerging by starts, the smoke in short order began to pour forth in great billows, unmistakably white now, the traditional signal that the cardinals in conclave had elected a new bishop of Rome and that their choice had accepted his election. But the bells that all had been told to expect in confirmation of the signal had yet to be heard. When they did come, Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges made the call live on air, accompanied in studio by Monsignor John Kennedy of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith and Wilhelm Hoyer of Vatican Radio's Scandinavian section.
And the bells. We're hearing the bells.
They said it would be short.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we can say that we've got a pope. Yes. We've got a pope.
Yes.
They have elected a pope. On the fifth ballot.
None of us expected that it would actually happen that night.
Jesuit Father Michael Rogers, who was a deacon just a few months shy of priestly ordination on that day, had been in the Vatican Radio studios earlier for the black smoke at the end of the inconclusive morning session. Now he was in the square.
We all ran. Now, the funny thing I remember is that Eric, who I was with at the time, my friend Eric Scanlon, who was a wonderful guy, had sprained his knee. It was actually on crutches. But he dropped the crutches, and we all ran to the very front.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum. Habemus papam. Eminentissimum ac reverendissimum Dominum, Dominum Georgium Marium, Sancte Romanae Ecclesiae Cardinalem Bergoglio. Qui sibi nomen imposuit Franciscum.
I can't say on radio the exact words that came out of my mouth when I heard that it was Jorge Maria Bergoglio, because I was shocked. As a Jesuit, I didn't think it would be a Jesuit. When I heard Georgius, I thought to myself, "Wait!" But when we heard that it was Cardinal Bergoglio, now Pope Francis, I don't think any of us knew what to expect. And at that point, I was actually standing next to the press secretary for the Jesuits. And there's this old legend that if the Jesuits were to be suppressed, Saint Ignatius said that he would need 15 minutes to pray. And the press secretary for the society turned to me and said, "I think Father General is going to need a half hour tonight."
A year on, and the church and the world are still feeling the Francis effect, a phenomenon as palpably real as it is difficult to quantify or qualify.
I think the effect is more in the way in which he's captured people's imaginations again. He's made the faith, in some ways, his way of approaching the faith has made it something that we want to believe in again. You know, not that we've ever lost that desire to believe, but it's given a new energy to that desire to believe, I think is probably the better way of saying it. And why? Not because he preaches himself, not because he's a rock star, or as he's recently said, he doesn't want people to think of him as a superhero, but because he is somebody who is first and foremost a pastor, and he sees himself as that. And he's somebody who has reminded us in some ways of the novelty of the Christian message, which we think we knew, we thought we knew this message, but in fact we're being asked to constantly rediscover what that message is. So I think it's a matter of excitement. I think it's a matter of recapturing people's imaginations.
Asked about the attempt among some in communications media to construct a narrative of opposition between the papacy of Benedict XVI and that of Pope Francis, Father Rogers said that the facts tell quite a different story, one of deep continuity rooted in mutual affection and esteem.
The narrative of discontinuity between the two men is, of course, a crazy one, because you look at these two men and it's clear that they're friends. It's clear that Pope Francis relies on the advice and the wisdom of Pope Benedict, and he says as much. And there's also that wonderful gesture that we saw, for example, at the last consistory, where Pope Benedict was there and, of course, tips his hat to Francis as he comes in. These are two men who are clearly working together and clearly understand the importance of their working together at this point in the history of the Church. I think, to some extent, we have Francis taking a lot of the wonderful and erudite things that Pope Benedict said and breaking them down in very concrete and very practical levels for people to understand.
And in the days and weeks leading up to this anniversary, well wishes have been pouring in from around the world. Congratulations. Happy anniversary and many happy returns. I'm Chris Altieri.